Please take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 11. I'll be reading verses 19 to 30. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. Thank you. Now those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution that had started because of Stephen made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of the men from Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, also proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. News about them reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And large numbers of people were added to the Lord. Then he went to Tarsus to search for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught large numbers. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. In those days, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine throughout the Roman world. This took place during the reign of Claudius. Each of the disciples, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brothers and sisters who lived in Judea. They did this, sending it to the elders by means of Barnabas and Saul. You may be seated. As we continue in our study in the book of Acts, we see some things that we need to learn as a church. The church in Jerusalem needed to learn some things. They had their opinions, just like most people in most churches have their opinions about the way things ought to be done. And there are people outside the church that have their opinions of the way things ought to be done. One of the things outside the church, people say, Christians ought not to talk about Jesus. Keep it to yourself. Well, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't keep it to yourself. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to change your life. And if anyone says they are a Christian, but they keep their Christianity separate from their outside life, they're lying. Either they're not a Christian or they're not keeping it from their outside life. Because to be a Christian means you're following Christ. And that term, Christian, the I-A-N-S ends after Christ, means a follower of or part of the group. So Christian means part of the group of Christ. It can also be used, the term means little. So we're little Christs. Christ is the Greek word for anointed one. So calling someone a Christian, the little anointed ones. And we are anointed if we are Christian with God's Holy Spirit. Now, the Jewish people did not call Christians Christians. They called them the cult of the Nazarene. And so this term, the Christian, that they're called in Antioch, is a term coming from the Gentile world, not the Jewish world. When Paul's on trial for his following of Jesus, the accusation against him is he's part of that cult of the Nazarene. Well, let me back up a little bit. Peter, one of the apostles, one of the leaders in the church in Jerusalem, he had gone down to Samaria, witnessed that God had approved of the Samaritans receiving the Holy Spirit. He then went to a town called Joppa. And if you look on your map, here we got little map for you. Up in map one, you see Joppa there on the coast. Well, Peter went from Joppa. Yeah, you did get a map. There's one back there. We're going to go through different maps. Everything's not on there, but I'll try to help you out. Peter went from Joppa when he was called by a Gentile, a centurion named Cornelius. Sent for him. Cornelius was living in Caesarea. You see Caesarea there on map one. So we're dealing right now with the review in map one. Did you get one, Brandon? Give Brandon one. Yeah, my little map in the back of my Bible didn't have all these places on it either. So it's just, you might have a better map set than I did. But I bought this book a long time ago. And if you notice down bottom, permission granted to the purchaser to reproduce this sheet for class purposes. Here are my class. And so I copied it by permission. Now, it's just, some things people copy without permission. There's a, Tommy would appreciate this joke. Tommy's probably heard the joke before. There was a music director friend that was going to play a joke on another music director friend and called the church where this his friend worked and says, I'm from the copyright company, and I'm going to come by and investigate to make sure you don't have any illegal copies and be there about 4 o'clock. And so the friend that was playing the joke showed up. What did he do? He found that his friend was shredding and disposing of all this music that he had copied. Sometimes Christians don't quite follow the copyright laws. Well, I bought the book that lets me copy the map. So here we are. Map one. You see, Caesarea is about 33 miles north of Joppa. Peter had been given a vision by God. A sheet was let down from heaven with all the animals in the world. Now, in the kosher diet, the diet that was given to Israel, only certain things are okay to eat. Others are unclean animals. Like pork, you're not supposed to eat. The Muslims follow a kosher diet too. Very interesting, when I went to the United Arab Emirates, our ship pulled in there, and I went to Pizza Hut. And at Pizza Hut, there's two menus. One for the people that live in that country, and one for the tourist. On the tourist menu, you can get pork on your pizza. But if you live there, you can't get pork on your pizza in the United Arab Emirates. Because of dietary restrictions. Well, Peter, in this vision, was told, kill and eat. And Peter said, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. And God said, don't call unclean what I have made pure. And this vision was given to Peter three times. And then Peter's trying to figure out what it means. And at the same time, people sent from Cornelius are at the door where Peter's staying. And God tells him, go down and go with these people. Don't doubt where you're going. So Peter went into the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. He went to Caesarea. And he preached the good news to them. Because Cornelius had been given a vision. Send to Joppa. Get Peter. He's going to tell you a message of how to be saved. And Cornelius had a house full of people waiting to hear this message of how to be saved from Peter. Peter, when he went to Joppa, took six people with him, at least six. And while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit came on these Gentiles. God had given his stamp of approval to the Gentiles being saved. Peter goes back to Jerusalem. Now, it says he goes up to Jerusalem. Look at your map, that's south. Remember, Jerusalem is uphill from everything else. So it's always up to Jerusalem and down from Jerusalem. Doesn't matter which direction. Down can be south, west, east, north. If you're going from Jerusalem anywhere, it's down from Jerusalem. It's like Mount Everest. Everything's downhill from Mount Everest in the world. Well, Jerusalem is not that high, but it's on a high plateau. Everything's downhill. Because later we're going to see Barnabas went down to Antioch. Look how far north Antioch is. That's on map two. That's about 300 miles north. Well, Peter gets to Jerusalem. And the church in Jerusalem is immediately criticizing him. Peter, we heard that you went and ate with uncircumcised Gentiles. And then Peter begins explaining everything that happened. Now notice the opposition to the spread of the message to the Gentiles came from the church. That's where the opposition was from. And now Peter explains, and at the verse 18, it says, when they heard this, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, so then, God has given repentance resulting in life, even to the Gentiles. Now it backs up a little bit. Now those who have been scattered, verse 19, as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen, made their way as far as Phoenicia. Now, if you look on map 2, you see Tyre and Sidon. Just do a big circle around Tyre and Sidon, that's Phoenicia. It goes about half of the way to Antioch. Cyprus, there's that island. And then Cyrene, if you see that in the lower left-hand corner of map 2, go off to the left a little bit and write Cyrene. Cyrene would be modern Libya in that area, just to the west of the Nile River Delta. So the message went, and you see that circle number 2, that far. This would be sort of like if Jerusalem was Mexico City, and the church in Jerusalem was the Church of Mexico City. They were hanging out in Mexico City, not going anywhere until the stoning of Stephen. And then after the stoning of Stephen, they went up to Texas. But that's as far as they went. And it said, speaking the word to no one except Jews. So after the stoning of Stephen, using that example, the church started in Mexico City. It went to Texas, but only to Spanish-speaking people. The message wasn't going to go to those who spoke English. Now, for those that speak English, you're not getting to hear the message. That's the kind of thing that was going on. The message started in Jerusalem, and it went as far as Antioch, Cyprus, and Cyrene, but only talking to the people that were Jewish, not to any of the Gentiles. Now, the church had just interrogated Peter about a Gentile becoming a Christian, and they agreed, okay, God will let Gentiles be saved, but we're not going to tell them. They've got to come ask us. We're not going to tell them about Jesus. We're not going to tell them how to be saved. But if somebody sins to one of us, we'll tell them. But we're not going to tell them unless they ask. Well, Scripture is addressed in this in chapter 10 of Romans. In Romans chapter 10, it says, how will they hear the message of salvation unless someone tells them? They need to be told to be saved. And that's what the purpose of our passage today is. Everybody needs to be told. Will everybody accept the message? No, but everybody needs to be told. Does God want everyone to accept the message? Yes. Is he going to force people to accept? No. God is patient with us. not desiring anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. That's why Jesus hadn't come back yet. He's given people another chance. That's why every single person is still alive that's alive right now. God's giving them a chance to repent. We don't know how many chances God gives people. And we don't know till we get to heaven who repented before they died or not. But the church in Jerusalem, they were okay with telling Jewish people, but not anybody else. However, there were a couple of people that understood God's message a little bit better. Look at verse 20. But there were some men from Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch. Now remember, Antioch is way up there in the north. Now Antioch was the third largest city in the world at the time. Rome was the largest city. Alexandria in the Nile Delta in Egypt was the second largest. And Antioch was the third largest. So you had Rome, Alexandria, and Antioch. Antioch was a pagan city. It was described by one of the historians at the time this way. Juvenal, a Roman satirist, said, "The sewage of the Syrian Oronites has for long been discharged into the Tiber." Now, the Orontes River was where Antioch was. The Tiber River is where Rome is. So this Roman satirist was saying, all the junk from Antioch has made it 1,300 miles to Rome. They're polluting Rome with their vulgarities, with their immoral lifestyle. Like, have you ever been down to Bourbon Street? Bourbon Street, you get, or at least when we were down in New Orleans at seminary, is an example of the debauchery. They don't close the window blinds to what's happening inside the buildings. And everything's okay. Well, Antioch was that kind of city. And in that city of moral decay, moral deprivation, you had a church. And these two people, or it doesn't say two people, but two places, men from Cyprus and Cyrene. Now, Joseph, also known as Barnabas, Barnabas was his nickname. We saw him back in chapter 4 of Acts. Barnabas, Bar means son of. Barnabas is a son of encouragement. He's the one that when Paul, then known as Saul, tried to meet the disciples, the apostles in Jerusalem, they were scared of him. But Barnabas said, I've talked to Saul. He is now a believer. And he brought him to the disciples, to the apostles. He is also the one in chapter 4 that when he saw people have need, he sold some property he had so that those people in need could have something. He will later become Saul's, that time known as Paul, missionary companion for his first missionary journey. He has a falling out, or Paul and Barnabas have a disagreement. There's a city called Pergamum. I have been to the ruins of Pergamum. It was a port city when Paul went there. Paul and Barnabas and John Mark was with them at that time. But at Pergamum, and there's nothing left there, it's just a bunch of Roman ruins on a hilltop. Because the river silted in, and it's like 5 miles from the coast now, where it was right at the coast when Paul was there. John Mark got homesick, and so he left Paul and Barnabas and went home. when Paul and Barnabas say, we need to go visit the churches we just visited that from the first missionary journey, they didn't call it the first missionary journey, but it was. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Paul said, no. He's a person who will not stick it out. He got homesick and went home. He didn't keep fighting the good fight. Now, later in Paul's letters, we find that Paul and John Mark had made up. Matter of fact, in one of Paul's last letters, he says, and have Mark come to me. Well, Barnabas took John Mark, and they went one direction. They went to Cyprus. Paul took Silas and went another direction. At this time, this is after Paul and Barnabas had separated. But the description given is Paul and Luke, who was with him, is Barnabas was a good man, full of faith. Even though they disagreed at one time over whether John Mark should go with him, Paul still had good things to say about Barnabas. Barnabas is one of the people from Cyprus. From Cyrene, if you look in Matthew, we find that Simeon, Matthew 27:32, or Simon from Cyrene, carried Jesus' cross. So Simon might have been one of these guys that went to Antioch. We don't know. We do know that Lucius was from Cyprus, and he is one of the pastors in the church of Antioch, and we see that in the next chapter, chapter 13, actually two chapters. He's one of the pastors, teachers in the church in Antioch. Well, I've chased a rabbit enough. We have the city of Antioch. Barnabas goes up. He sees that God is blessing. He sees that God is working. And he probably sees, I need help. He has had encounter with Saul. Saul is not in Antioch anymore. He's gone to Tarsus. We're not told why Saul is in Tarsus. Maybe he was just preaching from city to city. But Barnabas goes to Tarsus, and if you look at your map, too, you can see where Tarsus is. He goes to Tarsus, bring him back to Antioch, and Paul, Saul, and Barnabas teach for a year. And it says that a large number, verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Spirit and faith, and a large number of people were added to the Lord. Then he went to Tarsus to search for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught large numbers. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They were first called little anointed ones, little messiahs, little Jesuses, or little Christs. They didn't say Jesus, but Jesus. Last name is not Christ. It just means Jesus Christ means Jesus, the anointed one. And then a prophet, several prophets come down to Antioch from Jerusalem. Remember, they're coming downhill. One of them is named Agabus. We're going to see Agabus a little bit later. We're going to see him in chapter 21 of Acts. He's going to tell Paul, and he is known as Paul then, that if he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be tied up and imprisoned. He's the one that took off Paul's belt, tied himself up with it, said the person that owns this belt is going to be tied up like this if he goes to Jerusalem. Well, right now he's saying there's going to be a famine in the Roman world. There are actually four famines during the reign of Claudius. And so all the disciples, that doesn't mean just the apostles, all the followers of Jesus said, we're going to help out the believers in Jerusalem and Judea and said, whatever we're able to, we'll help them out. And who did they send with this offering? Saul and Barnabas. Saul, it had been a few years since he'd been there. I think Galatians it says it's like 14 years, but if I remember right. But it's been a few years. Saul and Barnabas come with an offering to help out the church in Jerusalem and Judea. The church is growing because Christians, as they're now called, are realizing we don't need to wait, or we should not wait, for the Gentiles to ask us how to be saved. We need to go to them and tell them. Back to my earlier illustration, if the gospel started in Mexico City, came to Texas, but only to the Spanish-speaking people, how would we who do not speak Spanish feel that we're getting cut out from the message? Why didn't you tell us? Well, that's how the Gentile world was. Why don't you tell us? We want to be saved too. There are a lot of people that refuse God's methods of salvation. They want to do it their own way. God has one way for salvation. There is one name given to men by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus. And there's a message given to us. Go and tell. Let us not be like the church in Jerusalem. We'll tell them if they ask, but we're not going to go try to tell them before they ask. We really don't want those Gentiles to be saved. We like our holy huddle, and we're wholly happy with our holy huddle. We're happy huddling here together as Christians and knowing that we're saved, but we're not going to tell anybody outside the church. No. That's sort of how the church in Jerusalem was. We're happy with us Jews being saved, but we don't want anybody else. We'll let them in if they ask, but we're not going to go tell them to come join us. Everybody should be welcome in the church. There's some churches that say, well, we don't want drunks in the church. We don't want people practicing homosexuality in the church. We don't want hypocrites in the church. We don't want sinners in the church. Where should sinners be? Hearing the message of God in the church. Now, should people that are living a lifestyle of sin be in charge in the church? That's a different thing. But they need to be hearing the message. They're not going to hear the message of truth in the bar. Maybe if some missionary that goes to a bar, there's one preacher that was his mission field, and he'd sit with his glass of milk so everybody could be clear what he was drinking. And he would share the gospel. That's not for everybody. But we all have a mission field. God wants us to tell. It's not for us to make people accept the message. It's just for us to tell them. If they refuse to accept the message, that's their loss. Somebody else might come by a little bit later and say it in just a little bit different way, and they get it. It's like one of the things I had to learn as a preacher. You know, I can be teaching something for 20 years, and then somebody come up and said, I heard preacher so-and-so on the radio, and he said, what I had to learn, that's what I've been telling you for 20 years. Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's awesome. They finally got it because somebody said it in just a little bit different way that it clicked. The pride should not be in our ability to convince people. Our joy should be when people are saved. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Let's make heaven rejoice because we have told the message and they repented. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to share your good news with everyone we encounter. We know that your Holy Spirit has gone ahead of us. It has prepared the way. Some are ready to hear and repent. Others need to be hearing the message in just a different way. But let us not keep silent. Let us share the good news to all we encounter. In Jesus' name, amen.